and welcome to Gamer's Table, a podcast discussion of tabletop role-playing games, war games, movies, books, and various other game-related topics. Be warned, this show contains some explicit material that may not be suitable for all audiences.
Hello and welcome to Gamer's Table. My name is Eric.
This is Mike.
This is Dan.
This is Mark.
This is Jason.
And I'm Sean.
We are going to do something a little different here. We're going to do an actual play podcast. We'll see how it works.
Wasn't that actually by request?
It was by a few people have requested it. So
why?
Hey, if it sucks, you can blame people on the internet.
Sure. Some people, well, you know, you listen to us on a weekly basis. You know, some people are like, well, we would like to be involved in your game. If
see what they're missing.
See what they're missing, or just kind of live vicariously through it. There's a couple
some people
who really, when they found out that we were playing Victoriana, were like very interested in the fact that we were doing it because they've never played it.
Yeah, if you don't have a game group, you know, this is kind of like the next best thing. It's like when I listen to 40K podcast because I never get a chance to play, I gotta live vicariously through that.
Starting with Mike and going around the table as we normally do, introduce your character and maybe a little something about them.
I am Dr. Vijay Sofibat, a Hindu white tiger beast man. I'm a thaumaturgist by trade, the assistant of Laszlo Beckford, detective. Thaumaturgist being that I'm the spellcaster. Let's see here. Vijay is also a pacifist and lazy, so you're going to have to pick up my slack.
Awesome.
All right, Dan.
I will be playing Winston Paramore Barrington III, because you have to say it like that. Major Winston Paramore Barrington III.
Retired.
Am I retired, Eric?
You are retired because of injury.
Retired due to injury because a Zulu warrior plucked out my eye.
Yes.
What war was that?
That was
the Zulu War.
The Great Zulu War?
The Great Zulu War.
Okay.
I think it's just the Zulu
for the queen, as it so happens. Now I'm just a man about town. I'm a big game hunter.
You retired.
That's how I pass the time.
Safari. Yes.
Yes. I still prefer it back in Africa. Yes. I just decided that. So I don't care for the rainy weather.
The soggy
here.
Weather doesn't agree with you.
Yes, and it's bad for my eye. My back always hurts, so I'm apparently addicted to opium.
Well, that happens.
Yeah, you know, as it does. And I'm short on funds.
Yes, your family has racked quite a bit of debt.
I live beyond my means.
Yes, that's exactly
because
right.
I'm a man about town.
You are. You're a very social creature.
And I compensate for my missing eye with a clockwork eye.
Yes.
And that is why we're playing this.
Yes, this is a...
No, that's the second reason why we're playing this. The main reason why we're playing this is to give Jason a reason to play a British halfling.
Yes. I am Ford Madison, but my nickname is Brick. I'm a retired underground prize fighter. I now run my own underground prize fights. So if you want to see a weasel man fight a clockwork werewolf, I'm the guy you come to see.
Interesting.
Okay. I didn't know Clockwork Werewolf was a playable class. I'd like to remake my character.
And you are a dwarf, correct?
I am a dwarf, yes.
Yes, okay.
Do you have a handlebar mustache?
Yes.
That's required.
He has a handlebar mustache and a fake monocle because he thinks it makes him look distinguished.
Oh, because he is actually higher. He is low social stature.
So, right. So your monocle is actually made of the bottom of a busted beer bottle.
Interesting. Yes. Going back, Mike, being from India, most Londoners don't really understand the social structure of India, so they probably just assume that you being a beast man, you're from the lower class, which you are not, you hold yourself with a sense of dignity.
That's so right. He looks monocle, golden pipe.
So you're a jumped up beast man.
Yes.
So he looks like he's a bipedal tiger.
Yes. Oh yeah, yes. Yeah.
I dress fairly fine. I got a fez.
Yes, one of the nuances you could wear
a fez.
I don't think a fez is
that's
Indian.
Not India. That's
yeah, you have like a, a turban thing.
I'm wearing
you
a, need a turban. Oh, a turban. There yeah, you go. Yeah. So, I like that better.
Haji. So did the Victoriana people just decide to make a game to enable people to be furries?
Well, there is a furry
in the steampunk world.
Furry element
yes,
to it.
There's a furry factor to this.
I think they just like let's just make the most awesome cosplay mashup we can, and we'll build a game around it.
Yes. Well, at Cubicle 7, that's what they did.
I guess.
So anyway, yes, the basis of Victoriana, for people who don't know, it is a Victorian Mandalorian era game. It was, what, two Gen Cons ago. It was sold to me by the guy running the Cubicle 7 booth.
He sniffed you out.
He's one of the one of the authors.
He had you
hook, line, and sinker. I cannot remember which author it is. It's one of the authors of the books. And he said, I will sum it up to you in two words, steampunk Shadowrun. And I said, give me everything you've got. So that's essentially what this is. The
2 years ago, how are we just now doing this? We've been
never,
busy.
It just never came around.
Well, that was primarily due to the long-running Mutants and Masterminds campaign.
Not only that, but I also wanted to reserve the time, reserve starting this until I was sure about the rules, and I really had a tough time getting my mind around the rules, and that's why we played a Victoriana game last Gen Con. After we played that one game, I was like, okay.
That was really fun.
Yeah, I can run this. So that's the main reason, was I wanted to see it in action before I actually ran it. And getting back to character descriptions, though, yes, there are beastmen, there are gnomes, dwarves, elves, halflings, there's magic, so essentially, it's a fantasy mashup with steampunk. Okay, so getting
Jason.
Individual characters. Jason.
Lieutenant Reginald Higginbotham, halfling, airship pilot, Royal Air Force, at your service. I'm secretly working on the first steam-powered aeroplane.
Not much of a secret anymore.
I will not buying a ticket to ride.
No.
I shan't be selling you one.
The thing about Lieutenant Higginbotham is he is a party animal.
Whoa.
So he is...
He totally should have been Arby Cracker Barrel.
I came up
with that. That's another running joke that some of the fellas came up with that we've all kind of added to is the fact that you could take just about any two restaurant names and create a halfling name.
Fast food restaurant.
Yeah, right. Fast food or, you know, it was like anything you could find along the side of a highway. Arby Cracker Barrel.
Right.
You got an Arby's, you got a Cracker Barrel, you got yourself a halfling.
My favorite is Show Me Hooters.
Show Me Hooters, yes.
yes, but only people in this area would understand Show Me's.
Right.
This is Mike, true. You came up with Arby Cracker Barrel, right?
Yeah.
His greatest claim ever.
Nope. Second greatest.
What was the first?
Homeless or Gamer.
This is true.
Yes. He invented
Homeless
or Gamer.
He doesn't claim it, but we won't let him not.
I'm ashamed of that.
There's no shame in no these shame things.
So, all right. Anything else from you, Lieutenant?
What's wrong with your hand, my good fellow?
Damn, I almost did a Cockney accent there.
It's going to happen eventually. Just give in.
You might as well just start it now.
Caught in some gears. Nah, see, I did it anyway. Dang it.
Just go with it.
You were going in for a ham sandwich?
No, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do a Cockney accent.
Your brain can't. Not.
Now, see, the thing is about halflings, beastmen, most of your other races, excluding
elves.
Elves can be upper class and middle. Halflings, dwarves, beastmen can only be lower class. You have to have a special talent which allows you, or I'm sorry, a special privilege called social anomaly, which allows you into an upper, into go up a step in your class. Because this is a very class.
Sure, I'm middle.
Yes, you being the, what was the?
The doctorate?
I have, I have social. Social anomaly.
Yeah, so you are middle class, but most people will look at you and go, even though you would probably still speak in a Cockney accent because you rose above your station.
Well, I will speak in a Cockney accent when I'm amongst other halflings.
Yeah, Sacred Beastman moved you up. If you would have taken the social anomaly, you could have been upper class.
Okay.
But because you're essentially a sidekick of Sean, I didn't want you a higher class than him.
Oh, well, that's fine.
No, the accent I want to do is of a jumped up dandy kind of an Englishman. I can't remember the actor's
upper
name.
Class twit of the year.
No, not that bad. But there's an English actor that had a really big gap tooth in like the 50s and 60s. Played.
An English actor with bad teeth?
No, yeah.
No. Why, that's very hard to believe.
Just a big gap tooth. Not
you know
bad
who
teeth.
I think you should try to be? You should try to be Thurston Howell III.
Oh,
that's American, though. I don't want
to. Well, it's kind of Britified. He was trying to do it that way. Yes.
I like that guy.
So his talents, privileges, and assets are combat sense, expert engineer, military commission, and social anomaly. So I do have a social anomaly.
Yeah, you have social. That's why you're middle class.
And my contacts are Dan.
Yes.
Dan's character, Winston.
Right. Everybody has Dan except for Dan.
Is this Skeven Poe?
That's Skeven, yes. He is a rat man named Skeven.
And Edwin Moore Esquire.
Yeah.
A halfling. Barrister. That's all I got to do to.
A halfling barrister.
Yeah.
There you go.
Halfling barista?
A barista, yes. He's a barista. He sells coffee.
He double dips. More coffee, sir.
And I took a toolkit for my fifth thing.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Sean?
I am playing Laszlo Tiberius Beckford. He's a human, middle class English male, and I am a dick. Private eye.
Well, the first remains to be seen. But you are a dick.
Yes.
Yes.
So is he employed? He's not employed by Scotland Yard?
No, he is an independent contractor.
He's a consulting detective.
He's a consulting detective for Scotland Yard.
He's like Magnum P.I.
Yeah. He can be hired privately.
And then Mike is Higgins.
Yes.
He can be hired privately or he can be contracted through Scotland Yard. He has Scotland Yard contacts. So, and he is very well known amongst the legal crowd.
So my Scotland Yard contact, would that be the Ernest Lipton?
Yes, Ernest Lipton is your...
Lipton.
He is your...
Because he's an inspector.
Yeah, he's an inspector for Scotland Yard.
I also have a bounty hunter named Bridget Watley.
Yeah, Bridget Watley is a bounty hunter. So if you're finding a difficulty finding somebody, you hire the hound dog to go get it. Okay, so any other questions before we get started? No.
Nope.
Okay.
This game is going to show how horrible my sense of history is, I can pretty sure.
Well, I'm not going to get real deep into history.
Good.
And I'm not going to get real deep into like street names of London and things like that. There are certain neighborhoods we'll kind of touch on. And
I don't want to
like
go
that.
Anywhere near Whitechapel.
So, but as for this first edition or whatever you want to call it, we're going to essentially start out as you all know each other. Everybody, every character has Dan's character, Winston, as one of their contacts. And that's by design because for some reasons, you are all connected to the major. You can call, and that's what most
major banding
the major. So if you're speaking to each other and Winston is not in the room, that's usually how he's addressed. So it's like, you know, are you going to the majors?
So I can't call him Winnie.
That would be he's upper class.
Entirely too familiar.
That would be entirely too familiar. Now, if he grants you leave to do so, then you can do that.
That will not be happening.
And now if you
know your place,
dear Winnie.
Now, you can come up with the ties of your characters however you want to. I just kind of threw some general ideas as to why the characters are connected. Essentially, it all boils down to you guys have known each other for at least a little while. Mike and Sean, your characters have known each other, of course, a long time.
Quite.
But the major is quite a storyteller and generally liked guy.
I throw the best parties.
He throws very nice parties. He has a lot of social contact. So those of you in different roles could use the major's connections for certain things. The major is also quite the card player and will play card. He has a card game which he incorporates all of you into. So you guys are like his Thursday night card game.
What kind of game are we playing?
It's most likely
Gin Rummy.
No, it would be
bridge,
cribbage,
baccarat, or
probably most likely baccarat.
So poker was a pretty
that guy.
I envisioned the halfling. He would be like he's my pilot down to Africa.
Well, yeah, that's what I was thinking too. Maybe I flew him back or flew him to. Yeah,
and see the thing is, you have normally halflings do not get military commissions because that's a middle class or upper class privilege only. So the major pulled some strings to get you where you are. You know, the major, he's kind of the driving force behind all of this. He's kind of not necessarily orchestrating, but he, you know, he's an adventurer. And he knows that you, as an adventurer, you know, he goes and does things in the Dark Continent and things like that, that you don't just rely on your upper class twit friends. You need real people to do things. And, you know, sometimes on your trips to Africa, you take, you know, the savage, you know, scout.
I like the idea that I accidentally hunted Mike's character once. but then we became friends. Oh, didn't know you were a man. Sorry about that.
Sorry, old bean. So that's the kind of thing. Everything kind of gravitates around the major. Now, I don't want that to be the total focus of the campaign.
I do.
It won't be. But it's just that's going to be the common thread through the whole thing.
So we can avoid the, oh, you look trustworthy.
Exactly.
Let's hang out together.
I decided to kind of build the group around one character so that way we could get it started without having to deal with all that stuff.
Yes.
And you're a major?
Major. Major pain in the ass.
He's a major general. Pain in
the
ass.
It was forced retirement, by the way. Mm-hmm. They made me quit. I wanted to stay in.
So
I only need one eye.
They're trying to keep you down because of the things you know.
That's right.
About the Zulu War.
The truth behind the Zulu War.
Well, maybe.
A bunch of heavily armed British guys got their ass beat by a bunch of guys with sharp sticks.
They weren't sharp sticks. Those were pretty badass sword spears.
I saw that episode of
I'm talking about
Deadliest Warrior.
No, I'm talking about the TV movie of Shaka Zulu.
Shaka, boom, 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 boom.
Anyway.
Wow.
So, yes, we will begin one rainy Thursday evening.
That's why I like
it. So a typical Thursday evening.
A typical Thursday evening in London.
That's why I like it nice and dry, Africa.
You have all met at the majors for your weekly card game and are currently losing to the Beastman. The Beastman has the biggest, and it's purely by luck because normally when you play, he's usually the first one out. So he's having a very good week.
This must be my week.
I say, are you cheating?
Good thing you owe me money.
Is there not a skill that's just gambling?
Yes, there is.
I'm joking, of course, VJ.
Ooh.
Don't tell me the boxer can't gamble.
He works more on his eye for fighting, not...
You hold the cards in your... pause there, Mike.
Yes, I have no gambling skills.
Wonderful.
I rig all my fights anyway.
It's not a gamble.
I only gamble with other people's money.
See, nobody would expect a weasel man to knock out a clockwork werewolf.
That's true. It's
one of my airships.
Looks like a pair of tits.
It does, kind of. That's why we call them Big Berthas. No, I know that's not what we call them.
All right, so...
this is the Queen Mom.
Looks like that airship from the Owl, you know?
Watchmen?
Watchmen, yeah.
So, you're down, just a couple. You don't play for lots of stakes.
It's time to cash out.
It's
been a night.
So Vijay is talking about cashing out, and it's still early.
Oh, no.
You've got to give us a chance to win our money back there, Vijay.
The night is young, Vijay. We've only just started drinking.
Do I have a manservant?
You do, and I was about to ask you, what's the name of your manservant?
Let's see here. My manservant.
You got to be Irish, too.
Can you have like some female Zulus?
No, my manservant would have to be, he would be an official, like a proper butler.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he went to school to buttle.
True.
You know.
Is that what it's called?
I think.
Yeah, buttle. Buttling.
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 I don't think that's
butler
right.
Butler is head of kitchen and dining room, I believe. I don't know.
So who is your manservant?
Let's see here.
He serves Crown Royal.
Arthur.
C. Clark.
Pembroke.
Arthur. No, that's my name. No, I'm Paramore. Arthur.
Pembroke. I like Pembroke.
Sure, let's go with Pembroke.
Mr. Belvedere.
What was that guy's name?
Belvedere.
So Arthur Pembroke, what is he, human?
You know, I like the idea of having a real ass beater dwarven butler.
That would be my character from the game we played at Gen Con.
Yes,
fair enough.
In which case I have a bowler hat of holding that carries your pistol in it.
Nice.
Let's not start giving
chicken
Dan
sandwiches.
Let's just not start giving Dan stuff.
I'll take it all. Good with the bad.
So yes, you're looking at your cards and the prospects are not good. And as if by design, as you're looking and everybody in the table knows that Winston has bad cards because he starts mumbling. His tail is mumbling.
He's got a bad poker face.
So he starts mumbling and everybody in the table starts throwing money in the middle.
I'm all in.
And as if by design, Arthur Pembroke, the dwarven butler, steps in and says, there's someone at the door for you, sir.
Good.
Shall I show him in? It is
at this dreadful hour?
It's Lord Austin.
What time is it?
It's just after afternoon tea, so it's like
4:30. So it's not an awful hour for guests.
We're what, gambling on bridge?
Show him in, show him in.
Stepping in is Lord Richard Austin. He is...
Lord of Texas.
He's one of your... He should be one of your contacts.
Richard Austin, yes. Sir, yes. Richard Austin.
Sir Richard Austin. He's one of your friends, good friends, from White's.
Oh, okay.
And the Gentleman's Club. And normally... He is, at about this hour, he's pretty snookered, but he seems unusually sober. His hair is unkempt.
It's knackered.
He's obviously stressed about something. He doesn't even look like, he looks like he's been out in the rain.
Arthur, pour him a drink and me along with it.
Right, he says, yes, sir. And he doesn't even ask anybody else if they want any. He just turns and walks away.
I
brought my own laudanum.
Oh, dear.
Just doing shots of laudanum.
Wow. Okay.
That's a serious addiction.
I say, Laszlo, pass it around, eh?
No.
Right, don't be a hog.
So, yes, Austin, Lord Austin's rubbing a hand through his hair, and he massages his forehead. He says, and as he starts to sit down is when Arthur comes in with the two brandies, one for each of you, and he immediately tosses it back.
As I attempt to toast, right then.
Punch your butler in the nose.
He will whip your ass.
Actually,
he officially has to be badder than Mark.
Arthur is a former fighter of yours. That's how he came to be in his service. It's like, give me the baddest guy you have. Okay, this is him. All right, perfect. You're now my butler.
Welcome to the good life.
And he has no problem with it.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
Exactly.
That's what your guy should look like. So anyway.
No, that would be me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That is you.
That's me.
The most interesting man.
Yes. In Britain.
So anyway, yes. So he's he says, "I'm my apologies for interrupting your game. I know how much it means to you, but I really must speak to you about a matter most dire."
That perks my interest.
And it doesn't even seem to faze him that he's talking amongst unequal
commoners.
Yes,
you can say it, commoners.
He's speaking amongst commoners. He's that distraught. This guy is very much a reserved gentleman.
So this
a
is gentleman's very out of gentleman. Character.
Yes, he says.
Do tell.
He says, "You have met my daughter Penelope, have you not?"
Is she good looking?
Nah, not really.
Yes, I've met her.
She's a debutante, but only because she's of station. She's actually quite hideous.
Ah, yes, I do believe I've
met her. The kind of girl you marry for the money and cheat on.
Yes, I mean, she's not even a butterface.
Ooh. Ooh.
So
poor gal. All right. Yes,
but she comes from vast wealth. So, it's
huge trucks of land.
Money makes her look good.
So, yes, he says, I must speak to you about Penelope. She has taken on with some unsavory types, and I fear for her reputation.
And how old is she?
She had just had her debutante ball, so she's 16.
Her coming out party?
Her coming out party.
Right. Which is not the same thing as the coming out party in Greenwich Village.
No.
I'm sorry, I just noticed something on my character. I'm going to get up from the table.
Okay.
Head for the liquor cabinet.
Yes, the liquor cabinet is right behind you.
Yeah. Bring us a snort, mate.
I'm pretty sure there would probably be a bottle of open scotch at the table.
Yes. I need absinthe. Actually, I am addicted to absinthe.
Well, that's a whole ordeal. You mean you're not going to get out the water and the cubes?
Sure, I am. I'm going to do it right now.
So not in my house, you're not.
I am too. You're busy talking to your friends.
What are you, a poet? I have no idea.
When he gets up, I look at his cards.
I take my cards with me.
So yes, the game has come to a screeching halt, and
VJ takes a nap.
VJ just falls asleep.
You curl up in the corner.
In front of the fire.
I'll lay a newspaper out on the carpet for you.
He's quite toasty where he is.
Okay, got it.
I'm going to listen to the lordship talk.
Your manservant
closed my eyes and got my pipe in my mouth.
Your manservant is busy sweeping up the fur that's flying off of him.
Shedding like hairballs.
Onto your fine oriental rug.
Okay, so she has taken in with a bad crowd. And what do you mean by a bad crowd?
Folks like us.
Hooligans?
He scrubs his face with his hand.
People who are not wealthy?
He says, actors.
Oh, God.
How unfortunate.
Not bloody actors.
Traveling actors? Or like the local Shakespeare company?
All right, they're
gypsies.
He shakes his head and gypsies. Says, no, not the traveling type. They hang around in the those arty areas of lower breeding.
Right.
It's quite distressing. Her mother is just totally distraught about it.
Now, more importantly, what would you have me do?
He says, "Well, you always have a knack for getting things done, old man, and doing it discreetly."
I'll do this. Consider it a favor.
He says, "I knew I could count on you, my friend." And then as soon as you say that, he stiffens, and then he looks around and looks at the rest of the people at the table, and he nods. He's not met any of them, and he says, hello.
You don't do shots of absinthe, by the way.
I do.
No, you don't. You'll die.
Did you see me doing shots of absinthe that night at Gen Con?
Is that sipping booze? Yes. That's all I could do with it was sip it.
It's one of those flavor-based drinks.
Yeah.
I've been doing the whole thing. I've been putting the shoes in
If you like minty kerosene, laudanum and licorice flavored kerosene, really.
Vijay will stand up and bow.
Are you addicted to human flesh?
He says,
he nods. Back down.
He says, oh, well, these are your men then.
They are. Fine men, all of them.
And you trust them.
With my life. And have.
He nods, and that's all he needs. He says, very well then. He says, I trust that you can all be discreet about this. My daughter's reputation is all that she really has. Unfortunately, she's taken on after her mother.
Hmm. Always look to the mother.
Yes.
So anyway, he says that we've concocted a story that she is visiting relatives in the country because of the summer heat. So and she doesn't. Penelope has never done well with the heat, and that's the story that we're sticking to until she can be recovered from these vagrants.
What are you going to do with her after you get her back?
Shrugs and says, "I will."
You're gonna like. Put her on a boat to the colonies.
Oh no, we will. Her mother and I will seriously consider some of the suitors that have
got it,
who have called.
Okay, so now let's.
She may need time in a sanitarium
or a nunnery.
Even better,
she's not Catholic.
So
scandalous.
Well, as long as her reputation remains intact, then we won't have to worry about it.
This is true. I'll leave that to the halfling to figure out.
What?
I trust no finer man with that job.
I am wearing my uniform, but it's somewhat disheveled this even this early in the evening.
Late in the day.
Okay, so
you're drinking and gabbling in your uniform? You're not supposed to do that.
So what we've got here is some
kind
of...
The major does it all the time.
Right. Yeah, I'm always...
Yeah, that's the difference between a major who's retired and a lieutenant who's not.
Lieutenant.
So this is basically going to be like an extraction, and then they're going to promptly marry her off.
I keep forgetting we're playing Shadowrun, essentially playing Shadowrun.
That's right. That's what
steampunk Shadowrun.
Yes, we're going to rescue her from some dangerous actors.
It didn't occur to me until Dan said extraction. I was like, oh,
wait a minute. Yeah. So, trying to get my head around the job.
Yeah. Right.
Yes. So yes, he is.
But did you all just totally glazed over the fact that we're doing this for free?
Yes, I noticed that.
I have not agreed to this yet.
I, on the other hand, expect to be well paid.
I'm thinking in this setting, favors are worth a heck of a lot.
That's what I was
going to
say.
In your social class, they are. In mine, I'll take the cash.
My social class and as well, sir.
Like I said, at the beginning, you have now been introduced to a very wealthy nobleman
who occasionally needs dirty work done. Apparently,
who may need. Dirty work, or
might like to see a weasel man.
Or
see, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
beat up a clockwork werewolf.
Because he see once this is taken care of, he seems to take an interest in the game itself. Looking at the stage.
Oh, he's thinking maybe about being a regular on our Wednesday game.
He could Thursday game.
Thursday,
the Wednesday game too. So.
What he is asking us to do is what I do for a living and get paid to do it.
Yes,
this is going to be better. Trust me.
Oh,
trust me.
The major wants.
Have
me
I ever?
Him.
Have I ever? Steered you wrong. No.
Well, there was that one time in Liverpool.
Shut it. Quiet you. You're replaceable.
That was the whole Africa debacle.
Well, you should have seen him in the Philippines. The donkey ride? That's all I'm saying.
Don't Fred Beckford. Doing this for a favor will be good karma.
Oh, my
karma.
Thank you.
Heathen.
My
Thank
damn
you.
Hindu friend.
Although
your turban's on too tight.
the pay wouldn't be all that bad.
All right.
So, it's settled then.
So, it looks like we're going to the show.
For the queen.
I think Brick should be both a devout Catholic and Church of England.
He covers both his...
He covers both his... But only those two.
Well, you would go to the Church of England on Wednesdays.
Right.
And then on Sunday...
Catholic.
You know, there you go.
All right. He says, the only thing that I know, pertaining to the last time she was seen...
Okay.
...was that a gentleman, if you want to call him that, called upon her that day, a thespian.
Thespian?
Yes. She swings that way, does she?
Master thespian?
At least, that's what I found out that he was. He called himself Robin Merriweather.
Does that
sounds
name
like a thespian
at all sound familiar?
You can... Does anybody have... No, I don't think anybody has acting as a skill. You could roll a general knowledge. There's some of you have general knowledge. It's a common skill.
I've got Ear of the Street and Pub Regular.
Yes. Yeah, so if you wanted to hit the street and ask some people, you could. You want to go to your pub and find out? You can find out information from people.
Okay. Well, how about this, gentlemen? It's early afternoon right now. It's like three.
It's supper time.
Okay.
It is now supper time.
So
maybe early supper.
Six.
Does Thursday game include supper?
It's up to you, sir.
All right. So we'll
includes his supper.
Right. Well, no. Yeah. Yeah. We'll have supper and then we'll break for the evening to do legwork.
Okay.
And then we'll reconvene tomorrow morning.
Okay. So supper time. So you decide to eat and then you break for legwork or whatever you're going to do that evening.
Yeah. Legwork will be the evening's work.
After you finish eating, what is everyone's plan for their character?
Well, I was going to roll
the general knowledge.
Yeah. I've got three dice I can use.
Okay.
What was it for again?
It's to recognize the name of Robin Merriweather.
Okay.
You're going to need your threshold is going to be three.
Three. All right.
Slow down.
Sorry.
And I'm imposing a 2 black dice penalty for your drink.
Because it's...
Lord.
Because you're drunk.
Apparently.
Oh.
There's one success. But so I got a six.
Nothing.
Sixes explode on your dice.
And a one.
So that's how many successes?
One.
So that's a total of one?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're like Robin Merriweather. That sounds almost like a stage name.
Do we call ourselves halflings?
Yeah, you can call yourself whatever you want.
Yeah.
It sounds like a halfling stage name.
I have general.
Okay.
One. Oh, explode. One.
Okay.
Oh, he ain't been drinking?
Not like you.
Hold my liquor.
I also have general, but would my deduction fall into that?
If you were looking for... Okay, I'll let you roll. No, it really wouldn't, because you're just trying to remember if you've heard that name before. It's not really deducing anything.
And I'm looking for sixes and ones.
Sixes and ones.
One.
One success?
Yep.
Well, aren't we stellar?
I'd have no idea.
Yeah, so you're like, I don't know.
Do I need to make some kind of a roll to stop drinking for the evening? If we've got work to do, I want to try and sober up.
Yeah, that's because you are a party animal.
Say it's rainy.
Well, my complications are lecherous.
Nice.
So when I find her, I may...
Oi, darling.
When I find her, I may...
Fancy a squat, love.
That's a proper minge. I may wrap the Union Jack around her head and do her for queen and country.
You talk about the girl?
Yeah, sure.
Depending on how drunk you are.
Exactly. And I'm also apparently, in addition to being an absinthe addict, I'm also in debt for my clockwork hand. And I have a saber and a pepper box.
Pepper box
being a gun
is a pistol that fires. You could fire one or you can fire all of
all
them
six
at once.
At once.
Yeah. Yeah, you can fire all of them at once and blow your hand off.
Eight, rather. Sorry. Eight shots.
Oh, jeez.
It's an eight shooter.
Definitely. That's how you lost your hand.
There you go.
Your pepper box exploded.
That probably makes more sense, yeah.
My old pepper box blew up in my hand. I'm going to get another one.
Yes, to stop drinking, you need to make an average resolve roll. So, let's see here. Average would be no black dice. And all you would need is one success to stop drinking.
So I just need the two dice for my resolve?
Yep.
And how many successes do I need?
One.
I see this going downhill.
Got it.
Oh,
so you're like...
And it explodes.
All right. Hey, keep going. Again. You might quit for a few days.
Two. That's two successes,
nope,
sir.
Nope, that's just today. So, all right. So you're like, tug at your waistcoat and you go...
Tuck in my shirt.
Tuck in your shirt and...
Straighten my tie.
You are completely ready for business.
Put my hat on somewhat jaunty.
Jaunty.
Oh, I hope we drove here.
You took a carriage, sir.
Oh,
the major sent a carriage for you.
Me and Haji, VJ.
Haji, VJ. So what is your plan, good Lieutenant?
I unfortunately will have to go to Whitechapel and track down my friend Skeevan Poe.
Skeevan Poe.
He's a ratman thief.
Okay. A man of ill repute.
Yes.
Man, you know, I just know. Okay, so this is...
Not my friend. I guess he wouldn't be my friend.
He's your a man you know.
A man I know.
So, a contemporary for you. So we're saying this is Steampunk Shadowrun, right?
Yeah.
Well, legwork is really hard without phones.
Yes, it is.
That's right. I got to take a carriage across London to Whitechapel.
Exactly.
Yes. So your night is going to be spent going to one contact, and you got to hope they talk to you.
So.
Or I can find them.
Well, that's true.
And they've not been killed by the slasher of Whitechapel.
Apparently, they have telegraphs.
They do have telegraphs.
That's true.
From this character sheet.
But they got to know.
I didn't think the telegraph was invented until the
1860s. Oh, I'm just going by the character sheet.
Okay.
Well, there's some things more.
Oh, sure.
Bumped up because of
they also
magic.
Have clockwork magical hands.
Right.
Or tiger men.
All right, so you put your hat on, you go, gentlemen, and you step out headed towards Whitechapel.
Anyone like to come with me?
Apparently not.
No. Why would anyone want to go down there?
VJ, I'll pay for the cab.
Sorry, old bean.
Old bean.
Little man.
Is there like a random percentage that he'll just like get buggered and murdered?
Just a random percentage?
Yeah, just because.
No, we'll not go into anything like that. But
I think there's always a 1% chance that you're just going to randomly die.
I see. Percentile. I'm sorry. Rolled 100. You disappear.
Are you in fact wearing your uniform?
Yes. Why wouldn't I?
I'm just asking.
I am active.
Oh, yeah. You're active duty. You're active military, duty. Right? You're just on leave.
Yeah.
Okay. What about Laszlo?
Laszlo will be...
Laszlo and VJ.
What do you think, Vij?
Oh, that's right. I keep forgetting they're together.
Dr. Safabad.
Brilliant deduction, Vij.
Thank you, Bedford.
It's better than Vaj.
VJJ.
My contact. Oh, we could go visit Ernest Lipton. Maybe he's got some intel on this lady.
Let's.
Okay, we're off to see Ernest.
Okay, so you're going to Scotland Yard.
This guy, Sir Austin.
Yes.
He doesn't like actors, and he doesn't want an actor in the family, but it's still part of upper society to go to shows and plays and
this
stuff,
right? Absolutely.
Okay, so do I have a lady friend?
A lady friend.
Right.
Just like in general?
Well, right, yeah, because I don't want to like go strolling down
the theater
to whatever
district.
Yeah, to the theater district.
Okay.
Dame Croxford.
Right.
So you want a, are you asking for an escort, or are you asking for just a friend, like a widowed,
sure, just
lady.
like a, you know, one of the regulars to my parties, you
sure
know.
you have social connections, so you right. you could make a call to maybe a old, you know, one of your spinster friends, or a maybe a widow, something like that.
I like it.
I mean, you wouldn't do, you could even, if you wanted to, make a call upon, you know, a couple, like a young couple that you would know that may want to accompany you, but that would look a little odd.
Yes. Yes, it would.
And it's very short notice. So,
well, yeah, no, you're right. It is short notice. So that would be rude.
Yes.
To call upon a lady on such short notice. So I'm going to just take a stroll down myself to the theater district.
Okay. Arthur is like, should you want me to get the carriage ready, sir?
Think tonight.
It's raining.
Yeah.
I'm going to go it myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you certain, sir?
Yes.
Okay. I will have your brandy warmed and your bed turned down when you return.
Excellent. And take the night yourself.
Tips his bowler hat.
That's right.
All right.
So I get all like dolled up and ready for an evening on the town.
So you're going out in tails.
You know, it's a Thursday. I'm sure there's got to be something going on.
Mm. Okay. Then we will start with Scotland Yard.
Dun, dun, dun.
Sean, you're going to go speak to the inspector.
Ernest R. Lipton.
Ernest Lipton. So, yes, Inspector Lipton, you go to the yard, and the inspector, actually, this time of evening, you would actually probably go to his residence.
Okay.
So, calling upon his residence, he's a man of modest means, much like yourself, so it's not like he has a manservant or anything like that. His son answers the door. When you knock, you know that he is a widower. His wife died of yellow fever.
Hmm.
So, he is, and has never remarried. So, son Thomas answers the door, recognizes you, and says, Mr. Beckford, it's good to see you again. He is a very enlightened 13-year-old boy, very well-mannered. He says,
I like him.
Please step in, and may I take your coats?
Yes, thank you, Thomas.
May I take your cloak, sir?
Very good, Thomas.
He takes your cloak and your coat, and asks you to sit in the sitting room while he goes and fetches his father. You smell some sort of roasting meat.
Mm.
So he leaves the room.
Roast beef.
Boiling meat.
Boiling meat.
Yes. This is England after all.
Roast beast.
Good point.
Stepping into the room is the inspector, Ernest. Ernest Lipton. He's a stout man of middle years.
Receding
hairline.
Tea.
With a full drooping mustache. He is chewing on the end of an unlit pipe as he walks in. And he says, Laszlo, good man. It's good to see you again.
Long time, Ernest.
He says, are you working on a case?
Kind of dabbling with one, yes. It has striked my curiosity.
Yes. The Beckford curiosity, it's well known. And I see you've brought your man VJ.
Yes, can't go anywhere without VJ.
Would you gentlemen care for a whiskey?
Why, yes, I could go for a snout.
I shall pass.
yeah.
Or snort.
A snort.
Yes. I love Sean's attempts.
It's okay.
It's all right.
It's cool. Right, it's all right.
So he says, yes, you're...
Maybe he just gets everything wrong, his character. That's what it...
Yes, it could that's be, a good point. We right. could work
could,
it in.
Could be the laudanum I've been drinking.
It could be that, too. Your tongue just doesn't work right.
I could go for a nose.
Wait, nose? Yes, no. So, yes, he pours the drinks himself, and you pass. So he says, would you care for anything, good sir? He says, perhaps a little fine black tobacco to fill your pipe.
Ah, very, yes, I was curious if he was smoking indoors. He didn't have his lit.
No, it just wasn't lit. He hadn't filled it yet. So he offers you some of his tobacco.
Well, then I'll definitely take that.
Okay, so he's filling his pipe. He says, so as he motions towards the chairs for you to sit, and he sits in his chair. He says, tell me about this case you're working on.
Well, I'm trying to locate Robin Merriweather. Would you have any intel on her?
Well, Robin is a he.
Ah, Robin is a he.
Yes. He says, Robin...
It's not the girl, Sean.
Uh-huh.
That's fine. He's getting it wrong. He's on lock, man. Come on, give me a break.
He was confused by the thespian reference.
Says, he goes, Robin Merriweather. He says, he kind of sits thoughtfully and he says, can you give me a little bit more?
One of our sources thinks it might be a halfling.
Well, a halfling named Merriweather, that's not outside the realm of possibility. Hmm. And he's trying to probe to try and get maybe more information out of you, kind of look. When you're not offering it, he sits thoughtfully and he says, halfling named Merriweather. Merriweather. He says, there is a Merriweather family, halfling family. Soho, I believe.
Soho.
He says, beyond that, unless you have more to give me, I don't know.
We don't have a lot to go on, other than the fact that we think it's a halfling and it could be an actor.
Hmm. Oh. He says, and is it his proper name or a stage name?
Rumored staged, but we're not sure.
Let me see. He starts thinking intently on, says, the Soho sounds about right for a halfling family. Says, but there are some halfling actors, bohemian types.
Mm.
Says,
lower class.
South, like South Town, bohemian types. You might check there.
Mm.
Merriweather. I can look further into it for you if you wish.
Yes, please do. And I shall swing back by here in a few days.
He says, oh, you will need that. He says, where will you be tomorrow? I could send a man.
Hmm. Well, you could send word to Winston's house. Winston.
The major?
Yeah.
Your infamous major.
Yes, my friend. I'm helping him with this.
I see. You see, he's kind of, on his face, he feels like he's kind of pried a little information out of you, like you didn't want to tell him that. He goes, the major needs some information on a halfling performer named Merriweather. Hmm, very well. I will, when I get to the office first thing in the morning, I will check into it and send a man with what I have.
Will do.
All right, he says, he starts now speaking in small talk, talking about cricket.
I'll grab one of my bigger, scarier fighters and...
Okay, I think one of your fighters is listed as a contact.
Yes, Booker.
Booker. Booker is an ogre.
That's perfect.
and he doesn't speak very well. He just kind of goes, Booker.
Well, all I need him to do is look scary and crack his knuckles.
And he can do that. Booker's like, where we going?
We're going to go hit some pubs and find out about this bloke.
Your local, hangout is the father's mustache.
The father's mustache. Got a picture of a mustachioed vicar on the sign.
Yes. Very, all it is just a mustache.
The brostache.
Right. It's the precursor to the brostache.
Right.
Yes, you go to the mustache. And, of course, when you walk in, everyone's like, hey, Brick, hey, it's Brick, hey, Brick. You know, we got fights tonight.
Yeah, not tonight. Fights. Not tonight. Not tonight. Nothing's booked.
And then Booker just kind of goes. As soon as he hears fights, he has to punch something.
Not tonight. Save it.
Making the rounds, you speak to a couple of people talking about this and that. Nothing real serious. Just, you know, I swear, Brick, I'll get you the money. You know, that kind of stuff. I'm good for it. Just give me another week.
You got 3 days.
All right. But the man you've come to see is a local theater, like habitué. He's always trying to, you know, talk you into you
taking
need to get,
in a show.
You need to get out of the fight game, and you need to start representing actors and things like that.
Yeah,
you know, because it's more lucrative than this fighting thing. He's a older gentleman. He's an Ian McKellen. I mean, straight up queen. So he's like, you know, you need to get out of this game, you know, old man. It's too dangerous.
You need to
start. And he's like bourgeoisie intellectual. He's, you know, he's very over the top when it comes to his he's a theater guy. He's also professor, you know, kind of. He's slumming it. So he's like, you know, get out of this violence game and get into the arts. You know, you're an intelligent guy. You need to come and take in a show with me. You'll see what it's like.
Well, perhaps. I've heard about some bloke named Merriweather with a local troop.
Merriweather. This doesn't sound like an upstanding name. Is he ethnic?
I believe he may be a halfling.
Don't make very good actors.
I would expect so, no. How tall would the stage need to be?
But they are very well at playing children.
Shave them, yes.
Shave them.
Could see that. Some spats over the feet.
Yes, Merriweather. He says, there's a place in Soho that features some, it's got halflings in the cast as children, as I believe. You might check there.
You have a name of the place? The Shaven Boy, perhaps?
The Shaved Boy. Oh, first shaved.
This is going down the wrong path.
The Golden Stage.
The Golden Stage?
Yes, it's a very unimaginative place. Kind of a hole-in-the-wall production company.
Off-Broadway.
Exactly. As I recall, they don't have anything. They're in between productions right now, so they may or may not be there. They could be rehearsing.
Yeah, I know where they rehearse.
Same place. Most of the artists would live nearby, the writer. Yes, if you're looking for a halfling named Merriweather, that's probably the best place to look.
Very good. I'll tell the bartender to get the professor here, one of his favorite.
Ah, yes. Spritzer.
Yes. I'm sure he gets the most expensive drink in the place and only orders one and sips it all night because he can only afford the one good thing.
Right. Off to Soho.
Me and Booker.
Please tell me that my coach goes through Soho on my way to Whitechapel and I run over the Merriweather guy with my coach.
What was that? Just a halfling, sir?
I thought Soho was in New York.
Many things in New York are named after things in England, London specifically.
So?
Greenwich.
Is everything I'm looking up here says Soho. It's all New York.
Look up Soho, London. Do a search of Soho, London.
Wasn't that a song, Ruby Soho? Or?
Ruby Soho?
Yeah, it's Rancid.
Ruby Soho.
That's the one.
Yep.
It's a British band.
I think Soho.
Rancid?
Soho, no, New York is short for something.
South of Houston. Yeah. All right, Major.
Sir?
You're thinking of The Clash.
You are.
I was the first one out the door. Why are you skipping me?
Because you're going all the way across town.
Yeah, this is real time.
You're just throwing that in for
real. It's real time.
And you're drunk.
No, I'm just.
And he's got short legs.
Yeah. I'm saving the best for last.
That's the short-legged little. Okay.
So you're going just cruising through the theater district.
Sure.
Find a good. Looking for what?
See if there's a show to take in. Just kind of keep my eye out. See if I see her hanging around with theater types.
Because you're the only one who's actually seen the girl before. Right.
Correct.
What was her name again?
Penelope.
Penelope Horseface Austin. She's well known in some circles.
And that is insulting to horses.
wonderful.
So, yes, driving through theater, really, you don't really spot her. Yes, there's...
Can I get the first act of Hammett, please?
So you decide just to kind of stop in at on a show. And
okay, so I'm sure there's probably like some kind of like a newsie around, somebody who like sells papers or
there's always a scamp somewhere.
Right, you know.
Oi, you want to buy a paper?
Or a kid who's selling like playbills.
There's always, yes.
You know, I ask him about the shows and if anything kind of sparks my interest of maybe, you know, having halflings in them. Since I don't know this,
do you
children.
Come out and say that, or you just?
I have a halfling fetish.
Looking for a show? Boy. We talking about here, Mister?
Looking for a boy? No, just.
I say when I'm not supposed to talk about those places anymore.
Halfling boys.
So no, just anything that might perk my interest as to being appropriate for maybe there's a halfling who floats around, or maybe works around. You know.
All right.
I'll find the dirtiest little scamp of a kid who, you know, I throw a few shillings this way. I'm gonna
shillings? You throw pennies, sir. Yes, you throw shillings at somebody?
I'm jumping on it.
Oh, pence. I'm sorry. Yes. I had that wrong. Sorry.
Yeah, you'll throw him a couple of pence, and he's like, yeah, you want halflings? I got halflings. Come with me.
Okay.
So, yeah. And you take in a show that stars a halfling.
Oh, excellent. Was that a good show?
No. It was okay.
One yes. halfling, and he was a feather dancer.
But you take in the entire show, and, speaking to the man who runs the theater, you can arrange to speak to him if you
now wish. I got Ruby Soho stuck in my head.
Good bastard. So, looking through the playbills, I just kind of grab a few of, just shows that are around. Right. Does that name pop up?
No.
Do I see it anywhere?
Does not.
No.
It does not.
So it's not a stage name then?
It's either not a stage name or it's not a reputable theater.
Okay. Or it's not an actor and it's a grip. Okay.
Groovy. So,
but like I said, you showing an interest in the halfling actor and, the stage producer, the owner.
Right.
Offers to, if you wish to speak to the man, I can arrange it. So.
Of course. Why not? I mean, that's what I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, of course, this owner mistakes you for maybe a patron of the arts or something, a benefactor type.
Sure. So, I'll let him believe that.
Yes, of course you can speak to any actor you wish.
I'll let him believe that.
Yes. Arthur Pennybottom.
Very nice.
Says, he's still in makeup and everything. And he says, I'm very glad to meet you, good sir.
Fine.
He says
fine
in his like high acting. Voice, right. Good sir.
Right. Yeah. He's projecting larger than himself.
It's
a fine job that you did out there.
So, I appreciate your kind words.
A fancy bit of acting.
Thank you.
And I just kind of keep going on and with that. You did well.
Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much.
I haven't seen anything better.
Genius.
Ever. It's brilliant.
So, are you...
In this game, are groups of people, do they stick together? Do halflings stick together?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it's entirely possible in a theater community, all the halflings kind of might know each other.
It's definitely possible.
Or have a passing knowledge.
Sure.
Racist.
Huh? Well, that's why I asked, pretense is this game designed under?
That's the way it is.
Okay, so I'll just ask him. It's like, do you know Meriwether?
All right,
it's a friend of a friend.
Make a wits. Do you have empathy?
Empathy? No.
Then make a straight up wits roll.
Straight up wits. No.
Okay.
Nothing.
You see his obvious. Make a perception roll then. Perception. I know you have that.
Perception and wits.
Four successes. Okay. Yes. He's very proud and, he's beaming when you're giving him praise.
Right.
You mentioned, there's other halfling actor I'm interested in, name of Meriwether. Boom. His face drops and he immediately starts looking around like he wants to get the hell out of there. He's like, no, sir. No, I wouldn't know that name. I'm very glad to have met you.
Okay. Well, then I bid you a good day.
He bows and kind of takes a couple back steps, turns and...
Shoot him, Dan.
Nope.
Blow!
I'm going to tail him.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. And Jason, you're going to be the first one next week. To be continued.
Follow us on Twitter.
We're at Gamers Table.
Like us on Facebook.
Listen to us on iTunes.
Or on Stitcher.
Got a question you want read during the show? Send us an email at feedback@gamerstable.com. Or leave us a voicemail at 559-546-1231. Check out some other great shows affiliated with us at rpgcrosstalk.webs.com.
You have been listening to Gamers Table, registered trademark Side Tangent Productions. Visit us at gamerstable.com. Products and intellectual properties discussed during this podcast are the properties of their respective owners. This production is for entertainment purposes only. Any commercial broadcast is prohibited without written consent from Side Tangent Productions.